You're listening to the Sermon Podcast by Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. We exist to know God and to make Jesus known. For more up-to-date information, check us out at southsidenow.church.
Well, good morning once again. Today we are going to be in the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. We're going to start a series going through the book of Ruth. Obviously, Ruth is near and dear to Kelly and my heart, as one of our daughters is named after Ruth. But Ruth is a beautiful story in the Bible of redemption, restoration, love, faithfulness, all those sort of things. And we're going to see a lot in the book of Ruth in the coming weeks. But today, our title is Twists and Turns, which is appropriate for our Vacation Bible School theme this week. As we've geared up for VBS, VBS this week is all about gaming, which I'm a huge fan of. So this involves board games, video games, the different kind of athletic games, all that sort of stuff. So the theme is based around that. And in games, there's a lot of chance that happens. There's the fall of the dice. There's the spin of the wheel. There's the choices that you make as you are playing the game. And we can all testify to the reality that life can be similar to that at times. Life is also full of choices. Life is full of decisions. And life is also full of moments that are beyond our control. Life is full of moments where there are things that come up and things that we have to deal with that we have no control over. And today I want us to look in the book of Ruth and see what we can glean from her story and from what God is teaching us through her life. Do you all remember that old game, Chutes and Ladders? Little cardboard pieces that would be moving around the board. You would spin a wheel for your move and you would hope for the best outcome, hoping to end up going up as many ladders as possible. You would spin the wheel, hope for a ladder, and then inevitably you would hit a slide, you would hit a chute, and you would slide down the slide. And what would happen oftentimes in the game is you would keep spinning the wheel, and you would hope for that next ladder, but then there would be another slide. And sometimes in the game it would seem like you were hitting slide after slide, just going continually downhill. Meanwhile, the friend you're playing with is like doing the exact opposite, right? And they're getting ladder after ladder, and they're just like happy with how they're playing the game. Life can seem like this sometimes. Life is full of twists and turns, as we'll find out in Vacation Bible School this week. It's full of ups and downs. And we see this in the beginning of Ruth chapter 1. We're going to go through the story as it unfolds. But specifically right now, let's look at verses 14 through 18. And I would invite you to open up your Bibles and to look in God's Word as well. It will be available for you on the screen, but you will want to be in Ruth chapter 1 as we go through this. So Ruth chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. And again, they wept together, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. "Look," Naomi said to her, "your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same." But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, I pray that you would teach all of us in this room. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, there is something in your word for each one of us this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would reveal what that is to us. Lord, teach us, help us to be more like Jesus. Lord, I pray as we talk about what we're talking about this morning, that you would just comfort those who need comforting, encourage those who need encouraging, and Lord, help us to push and to follow after you. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing I want us to see here this morning, the very first thing, is the reality that life happens to all of us. All of us will experience the fullness of life. All of us will have moments of ups and moments of downs, moments of twists and turns, moments of confusion, moments where we don't know what to do. All of us will have moments where things are going the right way and everything seems to be going good. And yet we'll all have moments where there are moments of tragedy, where there are moments of grieving, where there are moments of sadness. None of us are exempt from this life. None of us are exempt from its choices. None of us are exempt from the ups and downs. And this is certainly true for Ruth and her family. Ruth's story, from her perspective, begins in happiness. It begins in love. It begins in a new family. It begins with a wedding. And yet, even in the beginning, we see that everything is not okay. There's a famine in the land. This is happening during the time of the judges. For those who know the Old Testament, the judges were a very ruthless time, a time where there were sin problems in the land, and it was just a cycle of sin, repentance, judgment, all this sort of stuff happening in the land of Israel. And the people of God don't really resemble the people of God. The people of God look very much like the other nations. And we see this starting in chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, severe famine came upon the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab, taking his wife and two sons with him. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. Their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. And when they reached Moab, they settled there. Then Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons. The two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah, and the other a woman named Ruth. But about 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion died. This left Naomi alone, without her two sons or her husband. Notice that this all starts in the context of when the judges ruled. The people of God look very much like the world. They don't resemble the people of God. And yet we see in the book of Ruth an example of a godly woman. In the book of Ruth, this is a breath of fresh air in the time and the context of the judges. And we'll see that as this story goes, what God does in her life. Now, there's two things interesting about the placement of Ruth in the Bible. So in the canon, in the order of books that we have, Ruth follows after the book of Judges in the English canon. That follows chronologically. So you have the book of Judges, Ruth is happening at the same time as the book of Judges. But in the Hebrew canon, Ruth is actually placed right after the book of Proverbs. So you have the Proverbs 31 woman. What does a godly woman look like? What is a godly woman? What are the characteristics of her? And then you have Ruth given as the example of that in Scripture. The canon places Ruth as an example of that Proverbs 31 woman, and also as a godly example during the time of the judges. But don't skip past that reality, that she is also a Moabitess. The people of Israel don't really look like God, but this foreigner who will be grafted in is a godly example to them and to us. But yet even she isn't excluded from all that life has for her. She has the ups and the downs. We don't know for sure how long they are in Moab for. We see that 10 years referenced there in the married life. And we know her father-in-law had died before that she had married into the family. But tragedy hits, and the family is devastated. No one is exempt from difficult moments in life. No one is exempt from having to go through hard times. We all have lows in life, and sometimes it can seem like that earlier illustration where we're hitting slide after slide, and it just seems like we're going downhill and like things are falling apart. Losing her husband would have been tragic enough. being married for 10 years and then losing your spouse, that would be a very difficult season to go through. But not only does she lose her husband, she had already lost her father-in-law, but she loses her brother-in-law around the same time as well. And that would have been devastating. But in this day and time, it goes even a step further. It was important in this day and time to have a male family member. A male family member was important for the family. The inheritance, the land, the family name went through the men in the family. Losing all of the men in the family left them in a place that would have been a huge obstacle for them to overcome. Not only the pain and the tragedy and the grief of that moment, but now their very future seemed to be destroyed. Their very future seemed to be in trouble. Life hit, and life hit hard. Some of you may know this about me. It's something that I've shared and something I've talked about with the students. But there was one point in my life where I was a college dropout. I had all my own plans, and God had his. And there were some stupid decisions made on my part that led me to that moment. But that was also God working behind the scenes. And ultimately, God had closed a door. This was a place of pain in my life. It was a place of shame. It was a place of guilt and something that was not good. And yet, in that experience, God used it for my good and God used it for his glory. There are several things that then came from that moment. And the way that only God can weave and work things as he does. Dropping out had me in a different position in life than I would have been if I would have succeeded. That was one of those things where when I dropped out, it led me to a different position and location as well. If I had not dropped out, Kelly and I may have not started dating. If that had not happened, and things with Bible college and seminary may have happened differently. God used the difficult season to grow me and to shape me to be more like him, but also to have me where he wanted me in life. God used that difficulty, which ultimately led to marriage, Bible college, seminary, and even Southside. Even through life, even though life happens, here is something that I have learned. Is that God wastes nothing. God doesn't waste the difficult moments in your life. God doesn't waste the hard moments in your life. Instead, he is the God who brings light and brings beauty out of darkness, out of ugliness. My own sin and my own stupidity led to shame, and it led to that moment of dropping out. But God used that in ways that I could never have imagined nor had expected. So a couple applications for us as we think about this. Life happens to all of us. Each one of you in this room will experience life. You will have moments of celebration. You will have moments of great joy. You will have moments of victory. But you will also have moments of grief. You will have moments of defeats. You will have moments where things don't go the way you want them. Until the Lord returns, life is going to continue to happen to each one of us. Secondly, trust him in the difficult moments. In the moments of storm, in the moments of trial, and the moments of brokenness in your life. Trust him. You may not be able to see what God is doing in those moments, but God is absolutely still working. When life gets difficult, trust him. Thirdly, God wastes nothing. Suffering happens in life for several different reasons. Sometimes that's a result of our own sin. Sometimes we make a bad choice, a bad decision, and then there are consequences from that. Sometimes that's the sin of others affecting us. Someone sins against us and hurts us. Sometimes it's the enemy. Sometimes it's spiritual warfare. We see example of those in the book of Job. Sometimes it's just the reality of living in a fallen and a broken world. And yet in all of this brokenness, God can bring beauty out of it. Which leads me to my second point. We see moments of choice. Each one of us has plenty of moments of decision-making and choice-making in our life.
Start picking up and back up in verse 6. Then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab to return to her homeland. With her two daughters-in-law, she set out from the place where she had been living, and they took the road that would lead them back to Judah. But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back to your mother's homes, and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. "No," they said, "we want to go with you to your people." But Naomi replied, "Why should you go on with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up to be your husbands? No, my daughters, return to your parents' homes, for I am too old to marry again. And even if it were possible and I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me." And again they wept together, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. "Look," Naomi said to her, "your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same." Life is full of moments of decision-making. Life is full of moments of choices. Shout out to Tim Hahn. We talked about this at summer camp, actually. But PBS backed him up, and he was right. You know how many decisions the average person makes in a day? The average person makes 35,000 choices a day. Thousands of decisions. Starting up from getting up out of bed, right? That's like one of the first ones. How many times you hit the snooze button? Like, what kind of coffee are you going to drink in the morning? What kind of clothes are you going to wear? Are you going to brush your teeth or not? And the answer to that one should be a yes. Are you going to put on deodorant? All those sorts of things. There's tons of little decisions throughout our day, for both good and for bad. Life is full of these decisions each and every day. Decisions being made, and oftentimes we can't see how small or how large those decisions are going to be. Remember my example from earlier where I talked about dropping out? That was a moment of hardship, yes, but it was also a moment that led to other choices and other decisions. It led me to a place where I was around Kelly more. I had grown up knowing Kelly. We grew up in kids and students together at church, but it eventually led to a point of a decision of, you know, do I want to ask her out? I think she's cute, but am I ready to like pursue this next step? Okay, we go on a date. That leads to more choices. School, I had dropped out, but I knew that God wasn't done with me. Choice, I know I'm called to ministry, so what comes next? Choice, God closed the door and opened another one. I'm gonna go through that door. Choice, going back to college. Choice, I'm gonna apply myself. Choice, ended up graduating. Next door, seminary. That's a choice. There's choices after choices after choices, and so on and so on. Choices that may seem small in the moment may have a huge impact on your life. Those small decisions, as well as the big ones, could drastically change how the story of your life goes. And what I learned was is that the Lord was leading me to right to where he wanted me to be. In the text, we see that Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah all have decisions that are facing them. Naomi hears about the famine stopping in Judah, and she makes a choice to leave Moab and to go back to Judah. Ruth and Orpah make choices to leave with Naomi. Naomi makes a choice to believe the pain and the hurt that she was feeling inside, and which leads her to a place of bitterness. And we're going to talk more about Naomi here in the future. But Naomi makes a choice to believe the pain and the hurt, and she believes that God is against her. And then you have a moment of conversation, a moment of them talking together turns into a major life-altering decision. This moment is a decision that changes the story. Here, Orpah chooses to listen to Naomi, and Orpah, even though she wanted to go forward, Orpah turns back. And as Orpah turns back, her story in the biblical narrative ends. We don't know what happens to Orpah. All we know is that she's not in the Bible anymore. Orpah's story, she goes back to Moab, and then she drops out of the text. She had that decision, and her story in the Bible stopped. The same choice is given to Ruth, to turn back or to go forward. As we apply this, life is full of choices. You will face choices each and every day, from the small ones to the large ones. Maybe that's a choice to get up in the morning and to have your quiet time. Maybe that's a choice in the morning to get up and to pray. Maybe that's a choice to do the right thing at work when you're presented in a situation where you could do the right or the wrong thing. Maybe that's a choice to share the gospel with a friend, a neighbor, a relative, a coworker. That we are presented with choices after choices after choices. In whatever decisions you make, choose Jesus. Choose to make much of him. Secondly, many of these decisions are small and many are large, and you can't always tell the difference between the two. Oftentimes, it can be the small moments that end up being the defining moments. Those choices we make are key moments, and it's hard to tell sometimes which of those key moments will end up being life-altering decisions. In all of them, choose Jesus. Thirdly, choose to trust the author. In whatever you're facing, in whatever season you're in famine and trial and hardship, in blessing or in plenty, trust the author of your story. In this passage, we see several different responses. Naomi chooses to despair. She chooses to despair, but also to push forward, to go back to Judah. Orpah chooses to go back. And Ruth chooses faithfulness, which leads us to our third point, choosing Yahweh. But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. Ruth chooses a different option. And the option that Ruth chooses is faithfulness. And it's a choice that changes her story. That choice leads her to exactly where the Lord wants her to be. And we're going to get there. We're going to see more of that as we go through the book of Ruth. But you see, God has plans for Ruth that go far beyond her situation. Ruth's plans that God has for her go far beyond what she's experiencing in that moment. God is going to use her and use her life in such a way that has far-reaching impacts even until today. Here is a choice that is made to be faithful or to turn back. And Ruth chooses faithfulness, but more so than even just faithfulness to Naomi, she chooses faithfulness to Yahweh. She chooses the Lord. You see that in the text. And your God will be my God. Orpah had went back to Moab, but she had also went back to her own gods. Here, Ruth makes the choice that Naomi's God would be her God. She chooses Yahweh. In life, in all of its choices, in all the moments of decision, choose Jesus. Ruth's response in verse 16 through 17 is something that's near and dear to Kelly and I. In verse 16 through 17, we see this, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us.'" This section is something that we included in our wedding vows. This is something that's near and dear to us. But more importantly than that, here in this passage, we see a great example of something the Bible calls hesed. Hesed is this idea of faithful love. And here, it's within a family. It's between Ruth and it's between her mother-in-law. But this idea of hesed And this faithful, covenantal, enduring love, this kind of love that doesn't go anywhere, this kind of love that stays, that kind of love is something we should see in marriage. This is something that we should see in the covenant between husbands and wives, that faithful abiding with each other. But more importantly than that, we also have that faithfulness from God to us. You see, God is faithful to us in each and every season. God was faithful through this whole story, even though they couldn't see it. Even though Naomi thought that God was against her, God was going with them through this season and bringing about something that they could not fully comprehend. You see, this kind of faithfulness, this kind of love is something that God has towards you. God is faithful to you. God goes with whatever season that you're in. He goes through that with you. God loves you and he's not going anywhere. And then that becomes our challenge to him, that we would be faithful to him, that we would stay with him. Wherever he goes, I will go. Or however he leads, I will follow. God is faithful, and the challenge for us is to be faithful to him. Choose Yahweh in every season. Don't believe the lies in your own heart and your own mind. See beyond the situation you find yourself in and choose him. As we apply this, choosing the Lord is always the right answer, but it's not always the easy one. Ruth had every reason to turn around and to go back with Orpah. Choosing faithfulness from her perspective, we know the rest of the story, right? We know what God's doing, but from her perspective, choosing faithfulness meant choosing uncertainty. Choosing faithfulness meant choosing a more difficult road. And in fact, choosing faithfulness can be the harder road at times. And yet it's the road that leads to a greater reward. Secondly, choosing Yahweh means loving broken people. Naomi is shattered at this point. She is at a very low point in her life. She doesn't see the path forward or what God's doing. And yet Ruth chooses loyalty not only to Yahweh, but to her. She loves and she takes care of Naomi in her brokenness. Choosing Jesus will oftentimes mean loving broken people, loving people who are hurt. And then thirdly, remember your story doesn't end in the tragedy. We have a future. We have a home. We have a family. We have a promise. And the Lord goes far beyond the tragedies and the hardship that we face in this life. Things can grow dark in life, but in the Lord, we have a bright future. In this moment that she's in, Ruth doesn't know everything that's going to happen. Ruth can't see where her story is going. But that's exactly where her story is heading to. Restoration, redemption, family, a home, a people. And I'm looking forward to this series and this journey as we go through the book of Ruth together. We'll see the full story from tragedy to restoration and redemption. And in her story, we see a reminder that the same God at work in the life of Ruth is the same God who's working in your story this morning. The same God who went with Ruth and Naomi through this season is the same God who is with you this morning in whatever situation you're facing. He is present and he is near and he is working in your story too. So today, how is the Lord wanting you to respond? What is the Lord calling you to this morning? Maybe that's a moment where you have been led to here this morning, and that's a decision to follow Jesus for the first time. Maybe today is the moment where you know that you've been distant from the Lord, and maybe this is a place where the Lord is wanting you to renew your relationship with him. Maybe you're here today, and the Lord would have you to be faithful and obedient to what he has for you in the form of church membership or in baptism. Or maybe you're facing a moment that's crucial in your life, a decision that lies before you that you're not sure what to do or how to handle. trust the Lord. Make a decision that makes much of Jesus. And remember to follow Christ in the small moments in life too. Let's pray.